The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church, which is located in the Zion community near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Elder Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation of believers in the sovereign grace of God, where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. If you live in this area or are visiting here, we would love to have you attend worship services with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesday evenings at 6:30 p.m. I'm happy to note that our daily podcast is featured on Grace Alone Radio, which you can find at gracealoneradio.net. You can find the schedule on the website, and you can also download an app to your phone so that you can listen wherever you are. Grace Alone Radio is a 24-hour streaming service which carries the message of God's sovereign grace around the clock and around the world. Zion Primitive Baptist Church is located at 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. That's near the intersection of County Road 49 and Alabama Highway 159, about 8 miles north of Gordo, Alabama, and about 10 miles northeast of Reform, Alabama. If you're interested in finding more sermons, you can go to our website at zionpbc.com. That's zionpbc.com, where you'll find all of our posted sermons, as well as a link to subscribe to our podcast. You can also subscribe to our website, which will update you every time a new sermon is posted. In this outstanding message on the topic of baptism, Elder James Allen lays out the biblical case for those who are repentant sinners to obediently submit to the ordinance of baptism. He also sets forth the qualifications for baptism, as well as the way in which baptism should be performed. Join us today as we begin looking at this exposition of the topic of baptism.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. Is of this God, and at his blood, support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When ye shall come,
I cannot tell you what a blessing, an honor, and a privilege it is to be able to stand before you this evening and speak in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Seeing these dear friends who I haven't seen in so long, it's humbling, and I'm just so thankful for the opportunity. And I ask that you pray for me as I speak for just a few minutes tonight. I couldn't really figure out what I want to talk about, but I thought maybe I would like to speak to you for a little bit about the ordinance of baptism. I want to speak tonight to you about baptism and the elements that are necessary for it. We'll just start right in. The first element of baptism is a proper candidate.
Yeah.
A proper candidate.
Amen.
You know, oftentimes the reason people give for not being baptized is that they don't feel qualified. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah.
I just don't feel qualified to be down there at that old church with those folks. And, you know, I just not. Well, you know, the fact of the matter is, they're right.
Amen.
They're right. None of us are.
Amen.
Really.
Amen.
If someone came before the church here, Brother Chris, and said, you know, this church needs me. This church, I could be a deacon, I could be a preacher, I'm a great song leader, I can do this and I can do that. You know that you really need a lot here, and I really think you might want to think about that.
Amen.
For just a few minutes.
That's right.
Now we aren't going to heaven, my beloved, on our qualifications, are
Amen.
We? We're going on the qualifications of the perfect Son of God,
Amen.
Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Now, there are, though, some qualifications that are necessary to join the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are some qualifications, but let me say right at the beginning that age is not one of them.
Amen. That's right.
You know, I've only been among the old Baptists, I guess maybe 30 years now, but when I first came, the prevailing wisdom seemed to be that the younger folks that would come to church with their parents, if they wanted to maybe join the church, the idea was maybe just kind of hold them out a little while. You know, so they'll after a while, they'll sow their wild oats, and then maybe later on, as their later years, then they'll come home to the church. Well, a lot of times they never came.
That's right. Amen.
And I understand that oftentimes in times past, oftentimes in the pulpits of the Primitive Baptist churches, all we heard oftentimes was the doctrine of salvation by grace. Now, don't get me wrong. There is nowhere on earth, I'd rather hear more about than election and predestination and the effectual call and these wonderful mercies of God. And they're great. And you can't hear that anywhere else except the old Baptist church. But nowadays, it seems like more often ministers are preaching the whole gospel. They're preaching how we're supposed to live our lives, how young people are supposed to treat one another and treat their parents and treat their coworkers and treat their students. And so I'm convinced that the younger a candidate comes into the church, the better member they'll make.
Amen. Amen.
Now, obviously, there has to be qualifications. They have to be old enough to know what they're doing. They have to be old enough to meet one of the other qualifications we'll talk about in just a minute, which is belief.
Amen.
We believe in a believer's baptism. We don't believe in sprinkling infants or anything.
Right.
You know, they have to be old enough to realize what they're doing and understanding and have an experience in their heart that they love the Lord. But if that's the case, my beloved, there's no need, in my opinion, to hold them out for any particular reason. But there is qualifications. Matthew chapter 3 in verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Esaias, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his path straight. And the same John had his raiments of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when they saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, verse 8, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance.
Yeah.
Repentance. Here is the first qualification for baptism. Is repentance.
Amen.
Turn with me, if you ever have Bibles, to Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. You all might not have guessed that's where it's going to go, right? Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. We find that on the day of Pentecost there are a bunch of Jews being preached to on here. And now this is what is the very first thing that Peter tells these people, those who were pricked in their hearts on his sermon here on this day of Pentecost? He says in verse 36, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Well, that's important. Who's the ye? My beloved, I think we're talking here about a national sin of the nation of Israel. And now when, you know, nations can have judgment upon them.
Amen.
We all can have judgment upon us before our sins in this life.
Yeah.
A church can be judged. A person can be judged. A nation can be judged. And it says here, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized." Repent. Right?
Amen.
"Then wait at least 30 years before you finally decide to discharge your duty and follow the Lord in gospel baptism."
No, sir.
Is that what he says?
No.
The very next thing is baptism.
Yes, sir.
The very next thing, it's in the same, repent and be baptized.
Right.
Notice what he says next. "Every one of you." Every one of you.
Amen.
Everyone in this building right now ought to have already been baptized.
Right.
Now that may be true, I don't know, but if you love the Lord and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you love the Lord's church and you have not yet gone through the waters of baptism, don't wait.
Amen.
What are you waiting for?
That's right.
Then he says, "In the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now, oftentimes, it is commonly taught in the denominational world today, if I use that term, that this gift of the Holy Ghost is the new birth. That is being born again of the Spirit of God. And that to receive that gift of the Holy Ghost, you have to repent and be baptized. You do not, because it is not.
Amen.
It is not that. So let's first look at this phrase. It says, "for the remission of sins." Now you could, my beloved, you could look at that verse in two different ways. You could look at it the way most folks seem to see, that it means in order to have your sins remitted, you have to be baptized, you have to repent and be baptized. However, that little word "for" can mean something else, can't it?
Yeah.
It can mean because of.
Amen.
I submit to you that that's what it means. It means because your sins have already been remitted,
yes, sir,
by Christ on the cross, you should now be baptized.
Amen.
To repent and be baptized. You see the difference there?
Yes.
Next, as far as receiving this gift of the Holy Ghost, let's look at a different example of this very same thing over here in Acts chapter 10. You see, on the day of Pentecost, they were preaching to who? The house of Israel.
Right.
But here in Acts chapter 10, the Apostle Peter is going to preach to a completely different group of people for the very first time. You and me. Gentiles.
That's right.
Now, I know we are Jews. You're a Jew. You're a Jew. I'm a Jew.
Right.
But we're spiritual Jews.
That's right.
Okay.
Right.
But here it says in Acts chapter 10 and verse 44, Peter is going to preach to a Roman centurion named Cornelius and to his family. And he says in verse 44, "Why Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as it came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" Question. Why were these Jews that came here with Peter so astonished that these Gentiles were receiving the same spiritual gifts that they received back there on the day of Pentecost that they received back then in Acts chapter 2? Because these Gentiles had not been baptized, yet while they were required to be baptized before receiving these gifts. Why was that? Because those Gentiles, unlike the Jews, were not guilty of the very same national sin that the Jews were. And therefore, that was not required of them. You see, that's the reason. And I love this verse next, verse 48. He says, "And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord." He commanded them to be baptized. And boy, I love that. I wish I could do that. I wish I could command you to be baptized. And you know that baptism is a Christian command.
Amen. Right.
It's not just an idea or that's a good idea or something, you know, well, maybe if I get around to it, I might do it. It's a Christian command.
Amen.
How is it with you? Has anyone here not yet rendered the service to the Lord that is so due him? And it's so simple. Then he prayed they him to tarry certain days. Now they believe the reason that this is that they might be more instructed and more established in the faith after their baptism.
Right.
See, folks, that's how it's supposed to work.
Amen.
You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're baptized in the church, then you hear the preaching of the gospel and you grow in the faith.
Right.
You don't grow in the faith for 30 years and then decide to become baptized.
Yeah.
And that's how it ought to work. We learn enough through gospel preaching to know that we believe that Jesus is the Christ.
Yeah.
We're good. We're baptized into his true church, and then we spend the rest of our lives learning.
Amen.
Learning
Amen.
About him.
Amen.
It's just, I love that.
Amen.
Okay. Now, notice this need for baptism found over here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Look at the need here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. The Apostle Paul writes, he says, "Know ye not the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Well, that's a quite a laundry list, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 11, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." Here, Paul is writing to a group of baptized believers, members of the church at Corinth. And he tells them what they have through the sovereign work of the God of God alone.
Amen.
He says, "But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God."
Yeah.
However, after that, or when that, he tells them what they used to be like, okay?
Yeah.
"And such were some of you." They were like that. Why are they no longer? Because they have repented
right.
of their sins.
Yeah.
So my friends, the church is a place for sinners.
Right.
But it's not a place for just sinners. Yes. It's a place for repentance.
Amen.
It's right. a place for repentance.
Right.
And obviously, repentance is an ongoing thing every single day of our lives. But that's what it's for. Now, what else makes a proper candidate? What else makes a proper candidate for baptism? They must have within themselves spiritual life.
Right.
You have to be born again of the Spirit
Amen.
To be a proper candidate for baptism.
Amen.
Someone says, "Well, how do I get that?" Jesus says, "You must be born again."
Amen.
It's plain and simple. You must. By the way, someone asks you how they can get born again, there's probably an indication that they've already got it.
Amen.
They've already been born again. If they're going to bother to ask that question, that tells me, hey, they've got the Spirit of God in their heart.
Amen.
Why would someone who didn't have the Spirit of God in their heart even ask that question?
Right.
Ye must be born again.
Right.
The new birth comes to every single elect child of God sometime between conception and death, unaided and unhindered by man.
Amen.
John chapter 3 and verse 7. John chapter 3 and verse 7. The Lord says, "Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again." God, my beloved, has only one way of saving sinners.
Amen.
He does not have a plan for an adult.
Right.
He does not have another plan for a child.
Right.
He does not have another plan for someone who, an infant, another plan for someone who's mentally challenged. He doesn't have all these different plans for someone who even unevangelized, a different plan for the unevangelized. No. It says in verse 8, "The wind bloweth where it listeth." The Holy Spirit is pictured as the wind here.
Yeah.
And it blows wherever it wants.
Amen.
Wherever it listeth. It blows in places the evangelist could never reach.
Right.
It blows in places the preacher has never been.
Right.
Brother Joe talked about the Russian or Chinese. It doesn't matter where.
Yeah.
a child of God is.
Right.
It doesn't matter what a child of God knows, what they've heard, what they've been taught, what religion they are, what they believe, whether they have any religion at all, it blows wherever it desires.
Amen.
It's sovereign. And now here is the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. Wherever it goes by God. And it makes a difference. It's like a tornado in our lives.
Yeah.
Being born again.
Amen.
So is everyone that is born of the Spirit.
Yeah.
To be a proper candidate for baptism, you must be born of the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
So what else makes for a proper candidate for baptism? They must be a believer.
Amen.
In Christ. A lot of God's children out there who are children of God, maybe even have been born of the Spirit of God, but they're not believers.
Right.
A lot of them have never even heard the gospel.
Right.
And a lot of people oftentimes hear the gospel preached in such a manner, in such a way, that they're going to head for the hills once they hear that. I won't have any of that. Boy, I'm sure glad. You know, I was saying this this morning up at Blooming Grove. I was telling them that oftentimes when we talk to people, our friends and stuff, who are already steeped in their particular religion, very difficult to convert those people,
right,
because they've heard something all their life. It makes sense to them. They believe it. And you're not a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still.
Right.
Hard to baptize those. You're hard to get them to believe. But if you find someone who has no religious training at all, then it's a little bit easier.
Yeah. Right.
That was my case.
Mm.
I told them this morning, I was a 100% heathen. I didn't have any religious instruction. So once I heard the news, it was easy for me to believe it. Because I didn't have to untrain myself. I didn't have to unlearn anything. But boy, it's a lot harder to convince someone who's steeped in their religion that to leave the religion that they or the doctrine that they grew up in and follow this doctrine. So it's they have to be believers. Guess where we're going to go? Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. Probably never guessed that either, did you? And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, and who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship, and was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Esaias the prophet. Folks, the fact that this man was sitting in his chariot reading the Bible tells me already that he's a proper candidate.
Amen.
He won't be sitting there reading from the scriptures if he wasn't interested,
right,
if he didn't have the Holy Spirit in his heart.
That's right.
Verse 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Take note that this was, by the way, a special occasion.
Yeah, right.
Philip was a deacon, and he also held the office of evangelist, which I won't go into that. I don't believe we have that particular office today, but the gospel minister is supposed to do the work of an evangelist, even today. But in the first century church, before the Bible was written, God gave men special apostolic gifts of divine revelation that we don't have or need today, and that we won't go into that either this morning. You can listen to this morning's tape from Moving Grove if you want to hear all about that. So don't think that you need some audible voice from God that's going to tell you a witness to go witness to other people.
Right.
No. If you're waiting for a voice from God, you're going to wait a long, long time. If you have an opportunity to speak about the Lord to a child of God, about the Lord's work, folks, take it.
Amen.
Take it. Don't wait for some thing to overtake you.
Right.
Just take it. Verse 30. Philip ran hither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. By the way, I wish I could do that. I'm not really good at extemporaneously just going in. Some of you folks can do that a lot better than me. I haven't been around all that long. But that was something. But look at verse 36. And as they went their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." Thou mayest. Here's another qualification for proper candidate for baptism. Notice this is not an invitation for the eunuch to believe. No, the word is believest, which, my beloved, it's in the present historical, historical present tense.
Yeah, right.
Here's one who, after hearing about the Lord Jesus Christ, believes what he has heard. Okay, and so he says here, and he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God."
Amen.
Okay, what's the very next thing that takes place? Verse 38. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him.
Amen.
Did you get that? It was the very next thing that took place.
Right.
The very next thing. Verse 39. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way miserable.
No.
Have you ever seen somebody get baptized who was miserable afterwards?
No, sir.
He went away rejoicing.
Amen.
Rejoicing. What a glorious day it is.
Amen.
When we deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow the Lord in gospel baptism. It's a joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Yes, sir.
It says here in the New Testament, the only people, by the way, that were baptized, only people were believers in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
No one else ever in the scripture.
Amen.
A genuine believer is one who has been born again by the Spirit of God and professed a belief in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
There is not a single instance in the New Testament that it was otherwise other than
Amen.
That.
Due to the constraints of time, we will stop the message here. But please join us tomorrow for the conclusion of this message. If you would like to subscribe to our website, please go to www.zionpbc.com and sign up for email updates. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact the church at zionpbc1847@gmail.com. That's zionpbc1847@gmail.com. Or you can email me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter J, chrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.